Welcome to another edition of the Home Improvement Show. I'm Joanne Brackus. As always, sitting in front of me is Walter Assey, president of Renovco. And this is your weekly chance to get on the airwaves, to get on the phone, give us a call, 514-790-0800. You can ask Walter all of your questions. If you're starting a home improvement project, if you think you messed it up, if you don't know where to start, 514-790-0800. You can text us. But as I always say every week, sometimes the problems are long, and if the text message is more than three lines, I suggest that you give us a call. Hello, Walter. How are you?
I am doing great. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, too. I was just asking you if the Lebanese are like the Greek, you do the lamb.
The lamb. The
yeah.
Lamb.
Yeah. And I laughed with you because...
Especially if we're vegetarians, we have lamb.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
Remind me of my big, fat Greek wedding.
Well, yes, yes. Oh, gosh. I forgot that. We were just laughing off the air about... So in our family, before we got the mechanical spit, it was always the little cousins' turns. We had to rotate the lamb manually outside in the cold. Those days are gone now, Walter. Anyway, let us know what's happening in your neck of the woods in terms of your renovations. If you're having any issues or if you have questions, 514-790-0800. Again, best to call Walter. This is your busy... I always say this, too. This is your busy season, but I think... You're always busy.
It's always been busy, yeah. It's the mentality of home renovations have changed throughout the years because of the lack of, if you want, labor in the market or enough contractors that could do good work. What happens is people are ready to compromise. So they say, can you come and do it in the winter? And we even have calls from now telling us, if you're not this, you know, can you do this even in the winter? I'm open.
In the winter?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with renovating in the winter as long as you're not renovating anything on the outside. It is more like to do a kitchen in the winter is more challenging because you can't do a barbecue, you can't do this, you can't do that. But there are other ways. Like there's different setups that we help the homeowner do. Mm. That we can, you know, it kind of help in the process. Like, you know, you can have a semi-kitchen set up. Your fridge is plugged somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can have those plug-in electric cooktops, the small ones.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, inside microwave. So there are ways to, you know, to get away, get around some meals. You know, a lot of takeout for a while, for sure. But, you know, if there's a will, there's a way. So it's not as bad as, you know, as some may picture it to be to do it in the winter.
We did get a lot of texts last week that we didn't get a chance to answer. And a reminder, by the way, if you do not get through 514-790-0800, you can head on to the Renovco website as well and click the Ask Walter button. He has a great team, and he himself, he looks through the questions and does his best to answer. Because I know the different people have different questions depending on what time of the day you're watching the show, because it airs at different times. So we were getting some questions about, because I don't know if you remember last week, there was a lot of people dealing with potentially not so honest or above board contractors. And we didn't have a chance to get to it. But what should we be looking for again in terms of somebody's credentials?
You know, there's a lot, and this is becoming more and more complicated because I see it because the scams are also becoming more sophisticated. To be quite frank with you, now the contractors, I'm talking about the dishonest ones. There are ways, and there's loopholes in the law that a lot of them are actually taking advantage of. And I'll give you a big example. If you have a contract with a contractor and the guy takes a deposit from you, and it's a sizable deposit, and does, let's say, a day's worth of work in his in your house and disappears.
Oh.
Technically, that's civil, not criminal.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, a lot of these contractors that are, they know they're there for short term. That's what they do. Because you have to sue them civilly and that will take years.
Oh, so they're just, and they wait you out?
They wait you out. I mean, eventually these companies disappear. But, I mean, technically there's nothing that you could do to them to harm them in a criminal way. So what they do is they just shut the company. So they do this for you. They do it for 10 others. So that's where, if you wish, that would be the saddest type of... fraudulent activity. I had a homeowner that called me yesterday. You know, he took money from her and then disappeared. Again, same story. It repeats a lot. So that becomes an issue. When it's someone that you don't know and not of reputation, be very vigilant with your funds, right?
So what can you say? Like, how much is a reasonable deposit?
One of the, like, I'll give you an example. If you are going into business with someone that you don't know, a jobber, whatever, someone in a pickup truck, and you absolutely want to do that, they usually ask you for deposits for material. So what I would recommend that you do is you go and you buy the material yourself.
Ah, okay.
So that way he doesn't have that excuse anymore. Now you know that the material is there. So even if he takes off, you haven't lost that money.
Yeah.
Right? So you bring it, you put it in your garage. And okay, give me the list. I'll go get it. And that's what you do. So that's one way. I mean, the other way is just being a lot more vigilant in the verification process. The years in business, how many lawsuits they have against them, you know, the how many employees they have. Do they have a digital footprint? Do they have a real estate footprint? All of these things are important when you are verifying. You know, when you're giving a big job to someone, they don't have offices, showrooms, you know, millwork, factory, something that, you know, you can visit. There are some red flags. I would, you know, that's way to be a bit more cautious. Someone that doesn't have a website, someone that, you know, an RBQ is a beginning of, an, if you want, an accreditation.
Okay.
Someone that is good in what they done, they have multiple other things to add to it. And you can verify. So you know there are other accreditations you look for, and you know references for me. References and even reviews.
Yeah.
Are an afterthought, and I'll tell you why. Everybody have a cousin. Everybody have a friend. Everybody have a best friend. So I mean, don't tell me that you know like.
Okay.
Right? I mean. Okay. I can give you 20 names right now. So there's something to it that you can't actually touch with your own hands, right? But the other stories, they don't lie.
Okay.
You know, so.
And you also had a thing, and it's not necessarily the same thing for everyone, but you've said in the past if the company is brand new, like you're not saying don't give a chance to a brand new company, but then you really have to do a lot of homework.
Well, I mean, that's when you have to be extra vigilant, right? Like, and we talked about this with Elias Makos the other day on air. And you know, one of the things that that we see often are great guys that just started in the business. They have heart. They have great intentions. But we call this third-party fraud. So that poor contractor who just started in the business, who have very limited finances, you can't take on the job completely yourself. You have to subcontract. So in this case, it was a subcontractor that took the money from the contractor who took the money from the client and then disappeared on him.
So then who gets hit?
Well, technically, he's responsible. But I mean, and I met the guy, tried to mediate something. Because, you know, I saw that, you know, he was a reasonable guy. And he goes, I just don't have that money in my bank account.
Oh, boy.
I want to do it, but I you know, I don't know how to, so I don't know what to do. Tell me, guide me. Okay, so, I mean, that's where things can get to be. So, again, you have to choose the size of the job. Like, if you're giving a $500,000 job to a guy that just started 2 days ago, you're kind of walking into it as well.
Listen, it's again, if... Think about the money that you're about to spend and try to verify as much as you can. We're taking calls 514-790-0800. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, your chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your home improvement questions. If you've got any concerns, if you're working with someone and you're not sure that they're, you know, legit, if you've made a mistake on your project, 514-790-0800. The best way to reach us is by calling us, of course. Patrick has been waiting patiently on the line, and Patrick has a question about a breaker system. Patrick, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Good. Take it away.
Good. Yeah, I called you guys last week in regards to my water tank not giving hot water, and the plumber saying it was a breaker system. So I changed the breaker, and I had to call him back to say, "Hey, the breaker is still not working." And say, but then he said, "But there's still no power coming from the wires from the tank. So it's a line behind the breaker, the wires that need replacing perhaps. Because the breaker is a brand new breaker I put in, right?
Okay, so...
But he's still not getting power when he touches, I guess, the screws in the water tank to see if there's power coming from the breaker system.
But when you say he, who is he?
The plumber.
Okay, but why are we still dealing with a plumber? It's an electrical issue.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because he said he's not getting any reading from the water tank. So he said it's coming from up on top from the braking system, which I didn't need an electrician to check the wires.
And the breaker was replaced by an electrician?
No, I replaced the breaker myself.
Wow. Very, very brave man.
No, I followed everything that needed to follow. YouTube's a powerful thing, so...
I mean, the wire itself to have problems, that's usually, unless there was some real, you know, sparking issue or anything like that, it's very rare, you know, to have that. Unless, again, you had renovations done, someone drove a screw through the wire.
Right.
I've never really...
issues with wire.
Unless, again, there was an overload somewhere. So at this point, I would, you know, I think it's out of your...
Jurisdiction.
I would actually get a master plumber to come in.
Yeah,
you don't want to have any issues.
Okay, or get an electrician to check it.
Sorry, did I say electrician? My God, you keep confusing me, Patrick, with a plumber and electrician. Yeah, you need a master electrician to check.
Well, I will have that done definitely on Monday. All right.
So, Patrick, does that mean we're chatting with you again next weekend?
Hopefully not.
The solution to this at the end of the day. It's like,
okay, you know, maybe then I'll let you know.
It's becoming like, you know, those series.
It's a saga. It's a saga.
Series on Netflix. You know?
we'll start a half hour show on just this.
Patrick, thank you so much for calling. 514-790-0800. We are continuing to take your calls. Let us know what is going on in your neck of the woods with your home improvement projects. We've got a text message from Cindy here that says, question for Walter, are there any alternatives to heat pumps for houses that heat with water radiators via electric boilers?
I mean, yes, you can definitely go with gas, or you could go with propane or electric. I mean, technically there was oil as well, but we don't do that anymore. So these are the three alternatives that are available to you.
Okay, then we have a question. Let me see here. There's a lot of things on the text message line. By the way, the phone lines are open as well, 514-790-0800. It says, hi, this is Frank from TMR. The radon level at my house, long-term average is 218. Is it a must to remedy this? Any tips or recommendations? Remember, we had that whole show on radon and got so many calls.
Yeah, that was a crazy show.
Yeah.
We got so many. We still get emails. And
it's nuts.
So, I mean, the Canadian standards for homes, for acceptable levels of radon in Canadian homes would be 200 becquerels. If his yearly average is 218, he's above the average, so yes, he needs to do a radon mitigation to bring it down from that level. 218 is high, and that's an average. So meaning there are days he's potentially in the 300s and 400s, and there are days he's in the maybe 100s. What I'm saying is in those days, if he's in the basement breathing that air, it's not really good air that you're breathing. So definitely there's something to be said about that. Now, having said that, there's something even more important. We feel that 200 becquerels is high already. Like our standards here are, you know, there are other countries where that figure is 140. Right?
Wow.
So it's a lot less than 200.
Why the gap? That's,
I mean,
the range,
you know,
is pretty insane.
Again, each country have its own Ministry of Health. I mean, you see that in a lot of things. You see that in nutrition. You know, some things that are acceptable to be sold in the States are not acceptable to be sold here or in Europe.
That's true.
So it's the same type of concept. It's different scientists establishing different thresholds for accepting these types of things. But there are also studies, they're not 100% if you want approved, but there are also studies that says it's even preferable you go below 70 becquerels.
70.
That's correct. So again, there's it's an ongoing adjustment, and we've seen that throughout different contaminations in homes, like in mold and that. It's I consider it fairly new,
yeah.
and something that is keeps on changing as we go. So not to take a chance. 218 is high from any threshold that I know. Mm-hmm. So definitely work on doing the mitigation for
it. And remind everyone, the remediation is what? You get the puck, you call an expert. What do we do again?
No, the puck is
to detect it.
Now he detected it. You call them a radon remediation company. And what they do is they drill a hole in your concrete. And it's a fan that will exhaust the gas out.
Okay.
Okay, so there's, it's a fan that gets installed, and then you have a pipe that exhausts to the outside, and that's how you technically get rid of the buildup of the radon. The other thing that needs to be done, if there's any concrete cracks in your slab or in your foundation, these needs to be closed. You cannot keep anything that is exposed to the soil around or under your home.
Mm.
Exposed to the air that you're breathing. So, you know, a lot of us have those cracks in the cement slab in the basement that we say, it's just a small crack. But that crack is where the radon usually comes in, or through your foundation cracks or holes in the foundation. So
Do we have an idea how much something like this costs?
It's anywhere between $3,000 to $4,000. So it's not, it's up there, but it's not, crazy in the price.
But it's for your health at this point.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yes. For sure.
All right. You are listening to The Home Improvement Show. Reminder, call us 514-790-0800. Welcome back to The Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, is standing by, taking your calls, answering your questions. 514-790-0800. That's the best way to reach us by phone, of course, by text. Also, Walter has an Ask Walter button on the Renovco site, which is great. But he just told me that people are asking him questions during the show. You can also call us. You guys. I mean, it's great. He still sees them.
I know it's practical and everything.
But we're on the air. We're on the air. We are on the air. By the way, regarding our previous caller, Patrick, before we get to the calls, Patrick mentioned, and I think it's important for us to say that Patrick changed the breaker himself. And by no means is Walter recommending that for anyone.
Absolutely not.
YouTube that's, videos or not.
That's a master electrician's job. You don't want to play in the panel. That's one of the most dangerous jobs in electricity. I mean, electricity is not a thing to touch in general in your home. But I mean, playing with the breaker and the panel, I said he's a very brave person, but I mean, I was trying to also fill in the blanks with other things.
Well, yes, Patrick, we support you in your endeavors, but you know, I think the key goal for all of us is don't die. So anyway, thank you for that. Joe has been waiting patiently on the line. Joe is not playing with electricity.
Yeah.
Joe has a question about shingles. Joe, take it away.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks you for taking
Hi.
My call. The reason for my call, I think 2 weeks ago, Walter spoke about something on the shingles. My shingles are still in good shape and they're not curled or anything. Do you recommend that? And what product is it? And where can I find it?
I do recommend that if your shingles are still in good shape and they still have their granulation intact and there's no separation, there's no dryness, and there's no gaps. That's the only time that this will adequately work. So it kind of acts as an additional sealer to your shingles. There are, were you thinking of doing the job yourself or you were
I'm construction handy.
Okay.
So,
I mean, there are a lot of different products. There's Armor Epoxy, there's Rexoseal, there's...
Okay.
There's a lot of different products. It's really, there's even a product called Henry. So there's a lot, even Rust-Oleum does it.
Okay.
So there's different companies that do it. It's just a question of choosing the brand that you prefer. Preferably a brand made in Canada.
Okay.
I don't remember which one of these brands is made here. So that's where I would start. I just make sure to read properly the label, because there is preparation work to be done before you apply on the shingle, especially if the shingle have that grime on it or it have that mildew from you know, any, if you have any like moss on the shingle or anything like that, it won't adhere properly. So very important to read the instructions first.
Okay, but that'll extend the shingles for what, 2 years max?
Actually, in some cases, a lot more. If your shingles are in good shape and really in good shape, like, I mean, and everywhere, it can get you another 10 years.
Okay. And last thing, you only give one coat of this. You can't give it like 3 years later another coat.
Well, I mean, you can, but again, the idea is each manufacturer have different. If you want, that's what it's very tricky with when it comes to instructions, and that's one thing. It's not one size fits all. Every manufacturer, if you actually get to bring 3-4 buckets and read the instruction mode. You're going to be surprised how different each one asks you to do things. So, you know, depending on the brand that you're going to choose.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you. Have a nice, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you too, Joe. Thank you for calling. Harry is on the line, and Harry is also on the shingles train. He's got questions about shingles on the roof. Harry, can you hear us?
I hear you perfectly. And yes, I have a shingles question too. So I was doing some work around my shed, and I noticed that the shingles on the backside of the shed, it's a, you know, a cabanon commercial shed, had gone bare. And so, and I have some extra shingles from when we had done the installation, and they've been well kept and well preserved. But the thing is, I don't know if this is a DIY project just to replace a few lines of shingles or not, or is this something that I have to call a repair person for?
You don't necessarily need to call a repair person. I mean, the idea with shingles is how you stagger them and how many nails you put and what you put underneath. Typically, you don't want... I'm not a big fan of having the plywood and then the shingle right on top. So either you want to go with a synthetic paper or an eye shield membrane.
Okay.
So if you're seeing the plywood, that means from the beginning, and that's what you call a contractor roof. So when they... when they do it by the building code, they don't have to put any paper underneath, which I find crazy. So I would, that's one thing I would do if I can, if, at least put either eye shield or synthetic paper. That will protect the wood and the plywood. But it's really how you stagger them. So there are a few, you might have to take out a few more and then restart. But there's no big magic to it, really, especially that it's a shed and it's small, so you could, you know, you could do it yourself.
But, okay, so I noticed that they've got these large staples, you know, in the on the shingles. I don't have that. I don't have, like, a big staple gun. So you're talking about nails. How does that work?
I mean, you could rent it. You don't have to buy one, but you could rent it, because you do need, that's one thing you need. You need nail guns, so... if you don't have one, I would rent one. You don't necessarily need to buy it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Harry. Thank you for calling in. 514-790-0800, the best way to reach Walter Asti for your home improvement questions and needs. Got some lots of text messages coming in for you this morning. It says, Walter, would you prefer for outdoor patio deck tiles or porcelain tiles, and why?
What do they mean by deck tiles?
I don't know. What do we mean by deck tiles?
For outside patio, I mean, obviously, if you're going to go with porcelain, you have to go with a granulated porcelain. There's no way you should go with anything that is smooth, because you will your neck.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
That's right. So that's one thing. There are exterior grade tiles, and that's what I would go and get. That's very important if that's what you're going with. Depends what you have as a base as well, right? If you have a wood base, I would not really recommend that you go with porcelain tiles. On concrete, you can. If it's a wood base, then obviously you can go with PVC lats. You could go with treated wood, but that requires maintenance. You know, there's no secret sauce here. There's different products, but it's all going to boil down to the type of structure that you have.
Okay. So definitely not regular porcelain. It is a disaster waiting to happen. This one's an interesting one. It says, good morning. I live close to the train tracks and I'm planning to replace my windows this summer. What are your recommendations as to what kind of windows to install? I'm guessing for the sound. All windows are single pane since 1999. Thank you so much. This is from Victoria. So for sound, what are we looking at?
That's a great question. So with windows, it's like buying a car. There are really a lot of qualities out there, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes we do purchases without proper research. Hmm. Okay, the reason I'm saying that is because, like, if anything is manually assembled, and a lot of the mama papa stores, that's what they do. They don't have robotic welding. It's not as sophisticated. It's all about manual assembly and this and that. In our weather, that doesn't work. In mild weather, it might work. In our weather, it does not work. So you need to have a good assembly, and that's something that you have to research from the manufacturing part of the supplier. And that's what makes a huge difference on the prices as well. The other thing is the seal between the panes. Mm-hmm. So if it is a metal seal, it does not work as well if it's a tech form, because a tech form is more rubberized, so it absorbs the noise. That's another element that is also that's important to be researched. And then we go into the double pane, the triple pane. Next to train tracks, I would definitely go with a triple pane, because it will dampen the noise. And at the same time, it's more energy efficient.
Pricier, but in this case, if you're living next to the train,
it's definitely worth looking into. It is pricier, but it is also buying you a peace of mind. And, you know, for resale, you're going to have to sell the train by saying, you know.
Ah, yes.
You can't hide that. A triple glaze in order to dampen the noise.
I get it. That makes a lot of sense. 514-790-0800. We are taking your calls for Walter Assey, president of Renovco. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. We are taking your calls and your text messages for Walter Assey, the president of Renovco. Vivian has been patiently waiting on the line, and Vivian has a question for us about her water tank. Vivian, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Take it away.
Good morning to both of you.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask Walter, because I was thinking of the first gentleman you had on the program this morning, about his breaker. I have two condos, and my vacation condo, I just had to replace the whole breaker system because I have a habit of turning off my hot water once I don't need it in the day, because I live alone. And the master electrician who put in the new breaker said I shouldn't do it because I'm not really saving any money, he felt. Now, I'm about to change my main residence, the same thing. I've been doing this for like 35, 36 years, turning off the breaker, you know, getting the water tank full, I guess, of hot water in the morning and turning it off because I live alone. I wanted to know, Walter, if this is a good idea or not a good idea.
It's a horrible idea.
Really?
Yeah.
There you have it.
So what I would actually, I mean, a breaker is good to turn on and off once a year, twice a year, to make sure that everything is in good working order and to have it, like they say, cleaned and maintained. But
right.
You shouldn't be fiddling with it on a daily basis. That's number one. Number two, the savings are not going to be as big as you think. Where I would do if I were you, and that's where you're going to find a big difference, would be an instant hot water tank. You live alone. It's a perfect, perfect solution for you because it will only give you hot water on demand. So you'll save a lot of money and you'll save a lot of space. Just barely take any space versus a hot water tank.
Okay, I didn't get you. I would have to buy
an instant hot water. So it's a tankless hot water tank, if you wish.
The electrician I had who put it, in fact, I had to change the water tank in my vacation condo, and he was against the tankless water tank.
Not in your case. So I am against it if you're a family of four or five, and mm-hmm. and if you want to get it working on electricity, well, if you get it working on gas, you could get away with a bit more. But if person living alone, it's perfect for them. It's tried, tested, and true. Some of them, some electricians don't like it very much because they have not installed many of them. So it's more like, I don't know it, I don't want to touch it type of thing. But most, I can tell you, if you live alone, that is a perfect solution for you. You will save money on hydro. You don't have to fiddle with the breaker anymore. Mm-hmm. And you will see real saving then.
Okay, so that's the waterless, the tankless water.
Yeah,
heater,
waterless water heater is going to be more problematic for you.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you for the advice, Walter.
My pleasure, Vivian.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you to Vivian. A question from the text line. It says, good morning. I have wood kitchen cupboards, wood, and they're varnished. I would like to revamp them. What can I do?
So the idea is you want to get rid of, if you are re-staining them or repainting them, depending on your choice, you can do that if you don't sand, especially the varnish out. So what you want to do is you want to sand them down, light sanding. You don't want to overheat the wood when you're doing it. And then clean up the wood, make sure it's dry, and then you can apply either a new stain or a new paint. Now, depending on the color that you are going to stain it, that's also going to be how much sanding you need to do to get. So if it's a color that is similar, once the varnish is out and the wood has been sanded, lightly sanded, then it's good. If you have a completely different color, you might have to sand a bit more. But the idea behind it is a lot of sanding. That's the idea.
Start with the sanding.
Correct.
Figure out the rest. All right. Thank you to each and every one of you who called in and texted on this long weekend, by the way. That does it for us on the Home Improvement Show. Reminder that Walter has the Ask Walter button.
Yes. And you can use it when we're not on the air. You can use it anytime you want.
Use it anytime you want. And a big reminder to all of us before we let you go. Leave the electricity to the electricians.
There you go.
That's a big life lesson. All right. Thank you all for listening. Happy Easter to you.
Thank you to you too.
All right. We'll talk again next week.